Have you been able to head to any food trucks this summer? If you haven't, the clock is ticking. Never fear, dining critic Carol Deptola is on the show later today. She brings us tips for summer food you should eat before it's gone. Thanks so much for listening to Behind the Headlines. I'm your host, Katie O'Connell. The Midwest and Milwaukee appear to need some rebranding. 30 years later, the 1980s term Rust Belt is still part of the national lexicon when referring to the nation's heartland. The term is getting new attention in national media reports concerning the presidential election campaign. And its use has business folks in Wisconsin feeling more than a little irked. Tom Content sat down with manufacturing reporter Rick Barrett to find out more.
Hi, this is Tom Content from the Journal Sentinel Business Section. I'm here with Rick Barrett, our manufacturing reporter. And Rick, you've got something coming on two words that are infamous for our region, Rust Belt. Tell me what you're writing about.
That's right, Tom. I mean, if you use the term Rust Belt in conversation, it conjures up some really bleak images. Shutter factories, urban decay, high unemployment, a lack of hope, and that's just to name a few.
I think of Pennsylvania steel towns. I think of the manufacturing debacle of the 80s when we had massive layoffs at places like Tower Automotive, then Smith Steel, Steelworks. But it's being used to this day.
Yeah, the term hasn't gone away, and it tends to resurface quite a bit during an election year too. You'll hear it used by the national media and by politicians, usually in attacking their opponents.
And so, why is it coming up this year? The campaign.
It's the campaign, and it's about the economy. It's about urban issues, anything related to the upper Midwest, the Great Lakes states. Politicians and the media tend to paint with a very broad brush, and they refer to us as the Rust Belt.
And so what do people around here think about that term still living on?
They don't like it much at all. It's considered very derogatory. I mean, Milwaukee still has a lot of manufacturing, and no one's apologizing for that because it's very, very important to our economy. But the metro area also has 56,000 people who work in finance, insurance, and information technology, and that's nearly $5 billion in annual wages with an average salary of $88,000 a year. So clearly our economy is much more diversified than it was when we were much more dependent on manufacturing.
Right. And yet here we're still back in the 80s, it seems.
In some ways. I mean, some people still use this term and they toss it out a lot. And you can say, well, is it annoying or is it really harmful? And there are people who will argue that it's actually harmful.
Oh, really? How come?
Well, it's such an outdated moniker for companies that are manufacturing here, and it also doesn't fairly describe the economy anymore. It's very negative. It just conjures up all the wrong images for an area.
Right. I mean, you think of somebody like Rockwell. I mean, what they do is factory automation and robotics. I mean, that's totally antithetical to the term Rust Belt.
Yeah, that's an excellent example. I mean, you've got companies here who have some of the most advanced technologies and the most advanced manufacturing in the world. And when you toss out the term Rust Belt over and over and over, it just sends the wrong message. And it sends the wrong message to people who are not only decision makers from outside of the area, but it also sends the wrong message to young people in terms of their career choices and whether they want to move to the upper Midwest.
Mm-hmm. Anybody particularly peeved among the folks you talked to?
Lots of folks, primarily people in business, industry. You know, they've lived with this for a long time, and they just can't stand it. Drives them crazy when they hear it.
Maybe we need to come up with a new name.
Yeah, they would much prefer something like Great Lake States, the freshwater states, something that just doesn't say rust.
Right. Rick, thanks for talking about it with us.
Thank you, Tom.
Maybe you can coin a new term that fits our region better. In the meantime, check out Rick's story on jsonline.com and the Journal Sentinel. It's hard to believe it's already August, which means time is running short to enjoy some summer favorite dining spots, including food trucks and patios. Dining critic Carol Deptola sat down with Chelsea Lewis to talk about some spots to visit before they're gone until next summer.
So, Carol, you have a story in our Weekend Tap section kind of about some final tastes of summer that you want to sneak in while you can.
Yeah.
So what are some spots people should be sure to check out or hit up?
Well, you know, there's a lot of interesting food trucks again this year. That's, you know, every year there are some new ones. And some of these started like later in the season last year, so people might not have seen them. But what's interesting is a couple of them sort of fill voids in the food truck scene. You've got Eggs and Bacon, who they're doing breakfast, which nobody else is, you know, solely doing. And the Bacon, B-A-K-I-N, apostrophe, they're also selling some baked goods like cinnamon streusel muffins and things like that. Yeah. But then they do breakfast sandwiches on multigrain English muffins, and they use organic eggs, so you can kind of feel good about what you're eating.
Yeah.
And then also, no one's been doing like just an exclusively dessert truck. You know, some trucks do have desserts, but the Cupcakery, which is based in Port Washington but comes down to Milwaukee, does a really nice cupcake. It's moist, and the frostingisn't like tooth-achingly sweet. It's a nice buttercream. And they say that as it gets later in fall, they're going to start doing pies and Christmas cookies and things like that. So, yeah, that might be another one to watch for.
That sounds great. You were also just telling me about the Tasty Cafe.
Yeah, Tasty is right. They do this thing called a Thai taco. As the base, they use roti, which you've probably had, you know, a similar fried flatbread at Indian restaurants. And Tynamite does it. You can get it at a Malaysian restaurant in Waukesha, too. And it's just, I mean, fried bread, come on. It's a really good way to wrap up the chicken and the fresh veggies, and you can squirt some sriracha on there. And they also do a really good banh mi sandwich, the Vietnamese sandwich, with a little bit of pork pate and pork cold cut and the pickled, you know, daikon and carrot and jalapeno. And they use really good bread. And yeah, that's a worthwhile stop as well. And then you've got you know, some other foods associated with like global cuisines. You've got Stuffed, the pierogi truck, and they're doing like some, you know, traditional ones like potato and farmer's cheese, but then they also do chorizo and corn or short rib braised in Cabernet, and they're really delicious. They brown them up on the grill and serve them with a sauce, sour cream or something a little doctored. Really good. And then you've also got a truck on the south side that, as far as I know, is the only truck selling Puerto Rican food, called El Jibarito. And so they do the jibarito, the sandwich on flattened fried plantain. And it's, you know, so if you're, you know, if you're trying to be gluten-free, here's a sandwich you can eat. And the pork is especially good, seasoned really well. It's delicious. And other Puerto Rican foods there as well.
Oh, that sounds fabulous. I'm glad I ate already. I hope our listeners did too. Otherwise, I'd be craving all of this right now. You also have a couple of kind of just cool spots that aren't food trucks, but are nice, like, summer spots.
Yeah. They, you know, a couple of places where they don't usually do dinner. And one is Cafe at the Plaza, which is, of course, you know, incredibly popular for brunch on the weekend, breakfast and lunch during the week. And they have this really sweet courtyard patio. It's, you know, covered in vines. And they've got bands playing Friday and Saturday nights. And not a huge menu, but enough, you know, small plates, good little Juicy Lucy sliders, and like a few entrees. One's a, you know, scallop with a like a grain salad. Just nice, you know, nice way to spend a Friday, Saturday night in summer. And also Amaranth Bakery on the west side. They have a garden next to their bakery on Lisbon, and they have really great jazz musicians on Friday nights in summer, and they do pizzas, which they don't usually do. And they usually still have like salads from that day's lunch and sweet things. They make very good lemon tarts, and if you're lucky, they might have some Queen Amon or something, really good things. But it's just, you know, so nice to be outside and listening to live music and having a nice bite to eat.
For more on summer dining spots, visit tapmilwaukee.com. Tuesday is an election day. Which races are piquing the interest of our political reporters? Here's editorial editor David Haynes chatting with reporter Mary Spacuzza and Watchdog columnist Daniel Bice.
Well, let's go to speaking of politics and campaigns. We're going to dispense with winners and losers this week and ask you to name a race that you're watching. So, Mary, let me go to you first. What race are you watching?
So, the race with Senator Lena Taylor being challenged by State Representative Mandela Barnes is really interesting. Obviously, Lena's been in office for some time. She's quite well-known, has high name recognition. She was one of the 14 Democratic senators who skipped town and headed to Illinois during the Act 10 protests. Mandela has also, you know, a lot of people know him. I think he's pretty well-liked among his circles. He's challenging her as the incumbent. There was a very interesting debate between the two of them that I helped moderate about a week ago.
And it was a great debate.
It was a great debate. I feel like more Wisconsin debates should be like that one. It was, you know, and Lena certainly held her own, but I felt like Mandela gave it back to her too. So I was very happy
to
be a part of it.
It was two candidates who want the seat and were
they
very
really
passionate
want the
about
seat.
It.
Yeah. So obviously it's divided the community quite a bit, where Lena is accusing him of being the East Side candidate, the Shorewood candidate.
And the candidate who hasn't gotten things done.
The candidate who hasn't gotten things done.
And he's saying she gets things done, but she does it by working with Republicans and making concessions that I wouldn't concede.
So. Right. And they've argued quite a bit about gun violence. Lena's obviously been an advocate for gun rights. She's a gun owner. Mandela has been for tighter gun control. They fought about schools and voucher schools. So I think I'll be watching that one on Tuesday.
I was told by someone yesterday the polling in districts like that is very difficult because it's such a small sample size, but that the polling indicate that they're running neck and neck. So that makes it interesting
okay.
as well.
So, Dan, how about you?
I'm choosing a congressional race, the Republican primary to replace Reed Ribble. You have Frank Lissay. We've talked about a little bit here, the questions about where does he live. Then you have Mike Gallagher, a first-time candidate who had worked for a little bit of time for Scott Walker, and then Terry McNulty, who's the third candidate there. It's a competitive race, very different approaches to things, and you can see that by which one of these candidates is going to go to the Trump rally. You have Frank Lissay, who says, yes, I'm going, I'm definitely going. Mike Gallagher, who says, I'm not going. Sort of in line with Walker, Ryan, and those people. And then Terry McNulty, I don't think we know what he's doing. But it's really a race between those two, between Gallagher and Lissay. Lissay, who's been in office for a long time and is a divisive character, a divisive politician, and Gallagher, who has the backing of the establishment.
That segment comes to us from our JS on Politics show. You can find the full show on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. That wraps up this week's show. Thanks so much for listening. I'm your host, Katie O'Connell. Tune in next week as we bring you a special edition covering the best work from our interns this summer.